as we consider how life might have more fulfillment, more purpose, more significance, as we think about how we as believers might exert a greater impact on our world, or at least our little part of this world, we must never forget the principle of partnership and the importance of community. Hear now this reading from God's Word, the book of Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter, the 12th verse. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. May God add His blessings to this, the reading of His Word. Daniel Hernandez was a young man who graduated from college and thought it was the time for him to fulfill what was for him a lifelong dream, to journey to New York, the Big Apple, and make his mark. And so he left his hometown and went to the big city, where he was not prepared for the loneliness of the big city. He knew no one there, and to be surrounded by so many people and yet not to know anyone, at least to the degree that he would be able to share his heart and his life with someone else, not having that was almost more than he could bear. To make matters worse, he had landed what in his words, was a mind-numbing job. No purpose, no fulfillment, no significance, no impact. Just enough money to pay the bills in this big city where he knew no one, had connected with no one. The one good part about his job is that they leveled an expectation on their employees that each employee take 1 hour a week to give to charity work. And so he volunteered for a suicide prevention hotline. And there he would receive phone calls from people who were at the end of their rope, who did not know if they could make it another minute, much less another day. And he just listened. He just listened to people pour their hearts out over the anguish and the burdens and the challenges that were more than they could bear. Hernandez says of that work, which he found fulfilling and life-giving, I learned two things. First thing is that everybody struggles. Everybody, regardless of appearances, comes to a place in life where he or she can't go on anymore in their own power. And secondly, what every person needs is what I needed and could not find. Someone to come alongside. Someone to offer as much a listening ear as a helping hand. Someone who will at least acknowledge that my life is hard and I need someone to share the load. Life is hard. I don't think I have to explain to you the truth of that statement. In your life, you have discovered how at times you have reached your limit and you wonder if you have within you the power to carry on. Life is hard, and it is especially difficult when we face the challenges of life all by our lonesome. So why do we do it? That's the question that I think is on all of our hearts as we hear Daniel Hernandez's story, as we think about our own story and those times when we have felt the need to keep pressing by ourselves without involving anyone else to assist us. Why is it the case that in our own living we feel as if we must endure the challenges in our own power with assistance from no one else? Might it be that because we live in a culture that elevates the individual, a culture that respects the person who is able to pull himself or herself up by the bootstraps without anyone else's assistance? For example, have you ever heard one say of another person that he or she can do the work of two people? There you go. He, she can do the work of two people. And we elevate that person as if he or she is this superhuman, heroic figure. Brothers and sisters, that is a lie. No one individual can ever do the work of two people unless the two people with whom you are comparing the one person, the two people are weak and lazy. Yeah, well, then perhaps someone can do the work of two people. But for the most part, two people do the work of two people. One person is doing well enough to do the work that he or she has been given. And yet, we perpetuate this myth that we have to go through life without anyone's assistance, all on our own, not just our life, but also our faith. Have you ever heard someone say, I don't need anyone's assistance with respect to my relationship with God? God and I are on good enough terms. I have no need for other people to join me along faith's way. We live in a day where when you ask people about their church affiliation, their community of faith, they answer proudly, proudly. 20 or so years ago, they may have answered sheepishly, but today, proudly, I don't have any religious affiliation. None. None. As if I don't need anyone else in my life. Now, I am a good Baptist. I understand and appreciate and cherish our historic Baptist principle of the priesthood of the believer. You don't need me to access God. I don't need you. Each of us enters into a relationship with God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, entirely on our own. And yet, it is also an important part of our Baptist tradition. And beyond that, historic Christian doctrine, that when we are together in community, when we link our hearts and our hands in faith with other people who love Jesus, we are able to do so much more. It is that principle that, among other lessons, we glean from the book of Ecclesiastes. Not many of us are familiar with the conversation that is recorded in this book. It is, how shall we put it, something of a hotline conversation. The writer of Ecclesiastes, traditionally called the preacher or the teacher, Some have attributed the work to King Solomon because of how in the first chapter it references the son of David, Solomon, traditionally thought of as being one of the wisest people in the world. Technically, the word Ecclesiastes comes from a Greek word that means master of the assembly, the one who's standing up and sharing lessons of life and faith. But when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you wonder, how did this book ever make it into the Bible? There is wrestling that is going on by the person who is sharing this wisdom. Life is full of inequity and inconsistency and absurdity. What is the meaning and the purpose in life? How do we find fulfillment? And it's just one verse after another. You get the impression, whoever this person is, he is on the verge of just giving up and calling it quits, quitting on himself, quitting on God. And yet, throughout the book, there are these nuggets of wisdom, these revelatory lessons that help us to see, oh, wait a minute. Even though it appears that nothing adds up, that all the pieces of the puzzle cannot be put together. In fact, there are some ways in which we find purpose and significance by trusting in God. And one of these nuggets of wisdom we find in this passage that I've read for you this morning from the fourth chapter, where the writer, the teacher, the preacher, the master of the assembly, Solomon, says, you know, one person can be easily overpowered. You get two people together, they can put up a fight. They can defend themselves. But a threefold cord, a cord of three strands, that is not easily broken. On our own, we struggle. When we have other people around us, we are able to carry on. When we bring a community to bear upon whatever life throws at us, we will never be defeated. I trust you've learned this principle of partnership in your own life. It is a principle that is grounded throughout Scripture. There are plenty of stories of how people face seemingly insurmountable odds by sharing together with others who have in their hearts a desire to be God's people, fulfilling God's purposes. In the Old Testament, just one story is the prophet Elijah. I love Elijah. You love Elijah. What a great man of God. He represents prophecy in the Old Testament. That terrific experience of contending with and defeating the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. One of those stories that we cherish from Sunday school, but do you remember what happens after that great victory? Elijah runs down Mount Carmel. He flees all the way. Carmel is in the north of the Bible land. He flees all the way to the south because he receives word that Ahab and Jezebel, angry over what Elijah has done to Jezebel's prophets, they want to take his life, and Elijah is at a place where he feels all alone, and he hides himself in the crevice of a mountain, and he prays to God, take my life. I'm the only one you have left. God speaks to Elijah. Not the wind or the fire or the earthquake, but that still small voice. That still small voice. Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? No, you're not alone. I have 10,000 like you who have not bowed the knee to Baal. You're not alone. There's no need for you to feel as if you have to walk with me alone. There's strength and power in the community of faith that I have brought together. And Elijah returns in the strength of that principle of partnership to continue living out God's call in his life. In the New Testament, look at Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. We confess him, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead and buried, raised on the third day, ascended into heaven, where he is at the right hand of God, ever making intercession for us. He is the Son of God. Jesus didn't need anyone's help, but he brought together around him 12 disciples. At times, that group of men who followed after Jesus seemed to be such a motley crew, and yet Jesus invested himself in them, not because he needed their help, but because he knew that the day would come when he would no longer be with them, not physically present, and they would need one another to continue to do the work as the body of Christ that Jesus was inviting them to do. He established for them a principle of partnership, how one person can find himself or herself in a hard place. Two people can defend themselves, but you get a cord of three strands. That cord is not easily broken. Jesus said to his disciples that if any two of you on earth agree about anything, it will be done for you by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three of you are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you. Jesus is present with us this morning. What can come against us? You may be here this morning and you may feel like, my life, it's not moving the needle, it's not making a difference, I'm not having an impact. Might it be the reason that your life doesn't seem to be any good to anyone, not yourself, not to God, is because you're trying to go about it by yourself. You've bought into this myth of the heroic person. You don't need anyone. But the God who saw that it was not good for us to be alone, book of Genesis, created us as social beings. We do need each other. And no matter how challenging, difficult, how bad life gets, you are always in a better place when you surround yourself with people who share your vision and your passion to do what it is that God is calling us to do. You are always in a better place when you have people around you like that. Kyle Childress is pastor of a small church in Nacogdoches, Texas. I think I said that correctly, Nacogdoches. It's a little town halfway between Houston, Texas, and Shreveport, Louisiana. Kyle and I were seminary classmates. Cal went to that little church in Nacogdoches. Over 35 years ago, while the rest of us, you know, were climbing the ladder trying to grab the brass ring, Kyle stayed in Nacogdoches. That's where God had called him. He's there today. I read an article Kyle wrote about a prayer that he had heard an African-American pastor in the community pray, and it just so moved him that he thought, I'm going to pray that prayer at my little church next Sunday. And so it came time for the closing prayer, the pastoral benediction, the prayer blessing. Kyle stood before the congregation and he said, "Now, we're going to do something a little different today. I want you to turn to the person on your right. I want you to grab that person's hand, and I want you to turn to the person to the left, and I want you to grab that person's hand." Now, this is a Baptist church, so you can feel the awkwardness as I tell the story. And it's a church not that much different from this church, where people are spread out. And so someone, you know, has to reach across the aisle and they have to grab a hand in order to make sure that everybody make sure you've got two people around you. He said, "Now I want you to look on your left and look on your right and see whose hand you're holding." As if those people in that small church didn't know each other. Maybe those people in that small church really didn't know each other. I want you to see whose hand you're holding, and I want you to squeeze that hand tightly. Because this week, you may need that person. And then he prayed the closing prayer. And he did it the next week, and he did it the next week, and he did it the next week for over 35 years. That's how they've been ending their church services at the Austin Heights Baptist Church in Nacogdoches, Texas. Let's hold hands. Look who's on the right. Look who's on the left. Squeeze tight. You may need them this week. Now, we're talking about proud Texans. You think you're a proud Alabamian. Everything's bigger in Texas. Independent? Look up independence in the dictionary and you see the state of Texas. And they didn't know how to deal with that. But Kyle said a remarkable thing happened. People found themselves in places where they were challenged and afraid and uncertain about what the future would hold. And when they didn't think that they had no place where they could turn, they went to the phone and they called the person they held hands with the previous Sunday. He said revival broke out in the church. Folk in the community noticed the difference. Sunday after Sunday, we'd see new faces in the church, and it got to the place where we didn't have to cross the pews in order to find a hand to hold. Because there are people in Nacogdoches, Texas, who are lonely and afraid and on the verge of being overwhelmed. My guess is there are people in Mountain Brook, Alabama, who feel the same way. So let's be the kind of church that will always be there for people who need us, because at some point along life's way, the chances are good we're going to need someone to be there for us. Let's link hands and hearts that we might have a greater impact for the cause of Christ. Because by ourselves, there will be times when we will be overwhelmed. But two people can make a difference. And where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, He's there with them. Life is hard. There's no need for you to go through it alone. A cord of three strands is not easily broken.